We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
November 8th, 2017 was a huge day for Michigan women's basketball. Kim Barnes-Rico's team did not play that day. In fact, their season opener wasn't for another couple of days. But Michigan welcomed a 5-player class, and 4 of those players remain heading into their 4th seasons in Ann Arbor. And they're very well-known names. Amy Dilk, Naz Hillman, Emily Kaiser, and Danielle Roush. They all officially committed to Michigan on that day, pen to paper. Now, a while back, I learned a pretty valuable lesson about goals versus dreams. If you want to accomplish a dream, don't just make it your goal. Set short-term goals that can help lead you in the direction of your dream. Then if you keep stacking enough of those goals together and accomplish them, eventually your dream from a while back becomes a realistic goal. I'm not sure exactly when in the growth of Michigan women's basketball the Sweet 16 transitioned from a dream to an attainable goal, but if you argued it was November 8th, 2017, you could sway me, because these 4 players have expanded the possibilities for this program ever since they signed on the dotted line. Of course, Dilk and Hillman have been 2 of the stars for this program, really ever since they got to Ann Arbor. For Roush, who we talked to a few weeks back, and Kaiser, who we'll speak with this week, they've been contributors since arriving. They've been key in the locker room since getting here, but they really feel like critical pieces to the puzzle this season after assuming big roles late last year. Thanks to last season, some dreams for Michigan women's basketball have transitioned more to goals as of late. Final Four, national championship. Now, there are plenty of minor goals to accomplish before you can start thinking about that broadly. Case in point, it's July at this point. But Michigan has taken the right path. And again, November 8th, 2017 was as big of a leap forward, as big of an accomplished goal as any during that process. As promised, we've got Emily Kaiser for you this week. Also, men's basketball video analyst and a head coach this month, Jerron Simmons, here on Defend the Block.
We're talking Michigan basketball. Welcome to Defend the Block, where we'll take you inside the basketball programs with interviews, analysis, and so much more. Now, here's your host, Brian Bush.
Really excited about these 2 conversations for you here today on Defend the Block. Emily Kaiser will be up first, and then a little context to that Jerron Simmons tease. Jerron, who's transitioned to the coaching side of things and has done great work for Michigan men's basketball, he's going to be trading in the maize and blue for some green and white. Remember, when he was a player, he went from Ohio University to Michigan as a grad transfer, and he has the opportunity to be the head coach of Ohio University's the basketball tournament team. So he's getting some experience in that. Hopefully it's a lengthy run for the 14 seed, Ohio 1804. They're facing off with a group from Xavier. Should be a fun matchup, but it's interesting to talk to him about that opportunity. And I just love the fact that Michigan is allowing him, and Juwan Howard and the staff is allowing him to get this opportunity. TBT has really grown, and this is an incredible opportunity, not just for some of these young men to have a chance to play again and play together with some of their former teammates. And you'll hear from Jaron, he was offered a chance to play, and he said, hey, I really am not in any capability of doing that. I am interested in potentially helping out as a coach. And boom, he was the head coach of the team. So we wish him all the best of luck. They open up on Saturday. You'll hear about that at the end of his conversation. We'll talk plenty about his role in really not just the coaching and the scouting aspect of Michigan men's basketball, but the recruiting side. Because Michigan has done such great work at showing these players, these potential players, that Michigan's the right fit for them. And Jaron has been critical in that with his video work. So excited to share that with you. And it's a good bridge starting next week when we will delve into the top recruiting class in men's college basketball. Michigan welcoming in an incredible group of six players. And we will have conversations with those young men as we continue along starting next week. So stay tuned. Next week, we'll have our first for you. And you will get a chance to hear from every Michigan men's basketball incoming freshman. But let's zero in on our guests this week. First up, Emily Kaiser talked about the importance of that recruiting class from just 3 years ago and what they and this program as a whole have been able to accomplish. Nothing short of remarkable. We talked to Emily about the camaraderie of that group and of the entire team. Get her early impressions on this group getting set for 2021, 2022, and a whole lot more. So Emily Kaiser first, Jaron Simmons after her here on Defend the Block. Well, it's great to be joined by Emily Kaiser for the first time here on Defend the Block. And Emily, I appreciate you joining us. I want to start at the beginning for you. There have been plenty of pivot points, of growth moments for this program over the last decade or so. One of them very much is the recruiting class and the signing class that you were a part of with Amy, Danielle, and Nas. Take me back to that and when you all kind of got here to campus, when you all were talking beforehand, what goals did you all have in mind, and how have you seen it all come together here as you get ready for your fourth season on campus?
Mm-hmm, for sure. So freshman year, just coming in, I really wanted to come in with a big class, with people that were really like-minded, which I saw in everybody. Obviously, I had played with Amy Dilk, so I was good friends with her. I knew what kind of a player she was, and then excited to just play with all of them. But we came in with many goals. I mean, we wanted to win a Big Ten championship. We're still working on that one. But take the program to the next level. I mean, I felt like when we came in, they were really at, like you said, a pivoting point of, I mean, now coming into our senior year, it's almost an expectation to make the NCAA tournament. We're back on our freshman year. I mean, that was still a goal every single year. So just to see like kind of that journey we've been through and now be able to take that to the next step. I mean, now we want to make an Elite Eight, you know, Final Four, all of that. So just being able to continue to move those goals forward is really exciting, and just to see how much our hard work's kind of paid off, because we came in freshman year. I mean, I remember we had a conversation with Coach of just changing the culture of everybody getting in the gym, you know, working harder, like just doing everything to another level just to get the program where we wanted to see it after the 4 years, you know. And crazy that we're now seniors for sure. Still trying to comprehend that, but really excited just to see what else we can do with this final year.
So you mentioned expectations have changed. How then too have behaviors, have practices, have workout sessions changed? Because you can't do the same thing and expect different results. So how have the expectations changed everything else around your individual prep and work and the teams as a whole?
Right. I mean, I think we've just, I mean, there's an expectation to get in the gym, whether it's before or after practice. And once practice is done, I mean, nobody leaves the gym. You stay up, you get extra shots. You're bringing others with you, whether it's a senior keeping a freshman there. Sometimes our freshmen are like, hey, like, you want to get up shots, which is always great just to see that that's, you know, carried down. The freshmen we have today are eager to be in the gym, which is really great. And something I want to see continue forward. But, yeah, we just – during practice, I would say just the level of competitiveness, whether you're a freshman or a senior. I mean, a freshman can beat up on Nas. I mean, obviously Nas is so, super talented, but just that that kind of go get it attitude of, it doesn't matter where you are in the rankings, whether you play minutes or you don't, everybody's, you know, a part of this team and everybody matters, I guess, for sure.
So how have you seen, you're involved in recruiting and talking to people, of course, of giving your advice, your recruiting pitches, your stories of how your career has developed. The things that were accomplished here over the last few years, those were projections when you were going through it. That was what Michigan could become. I know there's still more to get, but how different is it now that there isn't as much projection with this program? There's a lot more fulfilled potential. Mm-hmm. And how did you buy in 3-4 years ago to this projection mm-hmm. of Michigan?
Right. Well, when I was part of the recruiting process, I was excited. I mean, I didn't necessarily want to go to a place that was already fully established. I really believed in what Coach Rico and the coaches sold me and what they were looking to do here. Just talking to the players, like people like Nicole Munger, you know, Hallie Thone, like people who were here, Caitlin Flaherty, I never got to play with her, but just kind of hearing where they had taken the program and what they saw, like I really bought into it. And just the Block M, the culture that was here, was just really excited to, you know, buy into that. So just talking to recruits, we have done some of the hard work, but there's still a huge, you know, another huge jump we can do. We've been finishing, you know, top of the Big Ten, but we want to be, you know, not just the top half, the very, very top, which we haven't gotten to accomplish yet. But just selling recruits on being like part of history, like making the Sweet 16 this year was an unbelievable, like it was a dream of mine and something that we all got to share. And it was unreal for sure. But, you know, that Elite Eight, just that could be just as, and we were, you know, that close. But it's something I think this year even better is now that we've accomplished that Sweet 16, you know, it's not just a dream, it was reality. And now, you know, we kind of have that belief in ourselves that, you know, we can do it. So we've already hopped that step. So just selling recruits on, you know, like that's the program, like what the program is now is definitely changed for sure. Michigan basketball.
Let's talk about you and your growth and your development. How have you prepared for this season knowing that, I mean, just looking at the roster, looking on paper, it really feels like there's a lot of minutes, a lot of opportunity out there for you. What have the first 3 years done to prepare you for that? And how anxious are you to have that opportunity this summer and into this season?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, freshman year didn't get a whole lot of minutes. And then, I mean, even the next 2 years, I had a much larger role my junior year, obviously, but sophomore year was here and there. But I think just having the opportunity of, you know, having to step in different situations, maybe only playing a few minutes here and there, I kind of had to buy into the role of just doing whatever the team like needed at the time, you know, whether it was rebounding, playing defense, taking charges. I just kind of had to develop those, you know, some of those jobs that not everybody wants to do. Like rebounding is not always the most fun job, but it's something that like you really appreciate when, you know, you might only be out there for 2 minutes, but you're playing as hard as possible. So I think just keeping that mentality into senior year, even with losing some people and maybe there being more minutes up to grab, not like losing that focus of like, those are like the small jobs that, you know, that got us to the Sweet 16 that some people did, like AK Johnson. She was, you know, Big Ten, all defense. And we lost her. So we're definitely have to, you know, pick up some of that slack. But I think, you know, the past couple of years not playing as much, I'll definitely value that for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned AK, also Haley Brown, which feels like mm-hmm. an area where you can kind of take up some of those minutes that she's leaving. What'd you learn from those two and previous now gone seniors, but especially those two off this past year's team that you can use for this year?
Mm-hmm, right. I was always, Haley's IQ in basketball was off the charts, and I got to learn from her every single day in practice, whether that's at the back of a line during a drill, just kind of picking her brain on what she sees and like in the post on defense. You know, I would say I'm slightly undersized guarding some fives in the Big Ten for sure, but just being able to, you know how to move, know how to guard, Haley definitely helped me out. And just I've been trying to develop my 3-point shot even more. We're going to lose that a lot with Haley Brown. So making sure that, you know, I can pick that up from the perimeter is going to be huge. AK was just one of those hustle players, that, you know, we're going to miss a lot this year, but just having that, even as a fifth year senior, you know, her body hurts, whatever, she's still diving on the floor. So that mentality of just, you know, everybody all in all the time, is huge. And I think I'll definitely take that.
I caught up with Danielle a few weeks back, and she talked about how much she gleaned from her NCAA tournament experience. Now, for her, it was unique in that she went from really not playing much at all to starting. But you were thrust into some really challenging, some really fruitful opportunities in the tournament, and you rose to the occasion. Those were high-pressure minutes at the biggest stage that you've been on in basketball. What did you learn from that? How can you benefit from that experience moving forward?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the past 3 years, they always tell you, you know, stay ready, like your time might come. And I think Danielle and I for sure have definitely bought into that. And it's hard because you never know. You're going to be in the gym. You might get 1 minute, you might get 20. But, you know, if you stay in the gym, you know, it's going to pay off. And you saw that with Danielle, obviously at a bigger level, which it's not always – you don't always get necessarily that limelight from it, but knowing that you just helped the team and that you were ready in that moment is huge. So definitely had to learn that. The tournament was awesome. I think even though I might not have played a ton of minutes my freshman and sophomore year, I felt like I had the experience level with me of just the high pressure situations. And we were playing with confidence at the tournament for sure. And I think when you're just playing with confidence as a team, even when I was thrown into some situations, like, you know, you have a teammate right there, like helping you, talking in your ear, and it just, you know, I felt pretty calm during all the games, just having confidence in my teammates and the team and the coaches, and them having confidence in me, I think just helped me play, you know, pretty level-headed for sure.
You mentioned, you know, having to embrace that role that you probably didn't want. Well, you're a senior now, and that, no matter what, it comes with some additional leadership role. How much easier is it to talk to the freshmen or maybe the sophomores about, hey, embrace this role because I did it? If you don't have experience in that, it might not be something that Nas or Amy can talk about as easily as you or Danielle because you've experienced it. How does that make it easier?
Mm-hmm, for sure. Just having that, I mean, experience to be able to even tell them different situations of like, you know, I've been there. I know what you're thinking. It sucks. You know, at times it's hard. We all come from places in high school where you're top dog, you're top of your school, you're scoring, you're playing the whole game, you know. So it's definitely a mind change. But, I mean, our program hasn't gotten where it's gotten without players like that, without, you know, players like me that, you know, you see, obviously, Nas has gotten this program with how talented she is. I mean, everybody has been here. But there are people behind the scenes, whether it's managers or whoever, like just doing some of the harder work that, you know, we're a family here and everybody together has gotten us where we are. So I think just telling the freshmen to just kind of stay the course, you know, it takes time. So Coach Mel, who was here my freshman year, she told me to trust the process. I had a little sign on my door, which maybe I should look at for the freshmen. But yeah, I just said, trust the process. And she said, you know, it might be hard right now, but you just trust the process. And what's crazy is now, you know, I'm here and it worked. We got to the Sweet 16 and I'm seeing progress in myself. And I'm so excited for this season because, you know, now it's here. So just want to keep going forward. But yeah, bring the freshmen with for sure and make sure they buy into that role as well.
So let's talk about the team as a whole. Plenty of known commodities on this roster, despite the losses. Take me inside the first few weeks, what's it been like? And maybe some of the soon-to-be sophomores or the incoming freshmen, what have you seen from some of the people who maybe fans don't know as much about?
Mm-hmm. Right, for sure. Yeah, I think just coming in as a freshman, you know, you talk about maybe not playing as much, but I think the freshmen aren't coming in with that mentality. I mean, they came first practice, you know, punching right off the bat, which I think is great. I think that's what we need. We need people to push, you know, people at the top, like upperclassmen, you know, freshmen aren't just coming in settling, like, I'm not going to play this year, which I think is huge. So we got four freshmen this year. So there's a lot of newbies. We've been joking, you know, we have a whole new coaching staff, new freshmen. We joke that the sophomores don't know campus yet because of COVID. So we're going to have to teach them that. But yeah, really excited to see what the sophomores can do this year with just having more of a normal, you know, a normal year. I get to play with obviously Whitney and Cam a lot being in the post. And I've seen a lot of good growth from them, whether it's just strength, which I mean, I think you have a huge transition coming in freshman year, just not being as strong as everyone, not as physical. So seeing huge improvements there. We got a lot of post players this year. So hopefully, you know, practices stay like highly competitive, which will be really good. And then we obviously got all the, returners and Maddie Nolan, Michelle. Isabel is finally back from Brazil, which will be huge. just not having her last year and that height and that touch that she has is huge. And it's great to play against just because of how long she is, you know. She'll block a couple shots during practice for sure. And then obviously we can't really figure out what class Leah's in just because she came in later. But sometimes we claim her sometimes. So having Leah back, that was huge last year. She was another one that I played against in Indiana. So just she ended on such a high note. That tournament was ridiculous. The way she was playing and scoring the ball and all of it. So just so excited to see where that goes. And then you got my class as well, which, like you said, me and Danielle haven't maybe played as much, but I think this is an opportunity senior year. This is what we've been working for, and we can't wait to see where that goes. And then, you know, Naz and Amy, but...
We talk about them plenty. They get plenty of coverage. That's all right. I'm curious for those two and really for this team as a whole. We discuss so much about what their on-court impact is, but how does this team kind of build that camaraderie off the floor, and how what kind of tangible impacts does that have? Because it seems like a very tight-knit group. It had to be last year, even though it was doing it remotely, Zoom, right, stuff like that. But where do you see that type of camaraderie from the class you came in with and from some of the other incoming groups that really you notice on the floor when you're playing?
Right. I mean, you know, you hang out here for 5 hours of the day and then you leave here and you want to hang out with your teammates again. So I think we're such a close group. I love being with all of them. I think I'm very close. My class came in very close. I mean, there was five of us at the time, but four now. I live with two of them and we're just the best of friends. But I think, you know, it doesn't really matter what class you're in, who you're hanging out with. The freshmen have come in and been great. They're very outgoing, which sometimes, you know, freshmen come in and they're shy. So that was really fun just to get to know them. And I'm just glad that this year is finally normal. I felt like we didn't get to hang out as much last year as a team, which was really hard because, I mean, those are the people that we would hang out with if we had the choice. But that was what was crazy about last year, is that you couldn't even hang out with your teammates at times. But, you know, just having that chemistry off the court is huge come practice time. You can get on each other, and then once you leave the court, you know, it's fine. You're good. You know that what happens on the court stays on the court. So we can get on each other. We can push each other for sure. By just having that relationship off the court, knowing that we're trying to make each other better.
Lastly, you referenced Indiana a couple times. So were you just given a basketball, like, at the hospital when you were born? Like, how does this work? I mean, what are your earliest memories? Because it's different there. It just is. Right.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe not the hospital, actually, who knows? I'm pretty sure I was a pretty large baby. But no, I had siblings. All of my siblings played. Well, I have one playing in college, and then my two olders played in college. My brother played at Valparaiso. So he had huge success there in that team that they have, a smaller Division I. But just kind of growing up in that family atmosphere, I have a super athletic family. But, you know, we had our basketball court outside on the pavement. My dad would paint on the lines for us. So, I mean, if you're bored one night, that's what we did. My brother, having to play 1v1 versus my brother, will definitely help you. I joke with him that I'd beat him every once in a while, but he'd probably argue with not. But just growing up in that atmosphere in Indiana, where all the high school gyms are huge and basketball's just an event that you go and watch. It just helped, I think, me grow as a player and then, you know, continue this love in college for sure. And now half of our team, I feel like, is in the, we joke that we're all Indiana. We're just moving here. So.
Well, I mean, with that being said, you know, you discussed just how unique last year was, and there are so many just bizarre aspects of it all. Right. But I mean, you played a game in Bloomington. Were there any fans? Was it just friends and family? I mean, how bizarre was that? Because that place is never empty.
Right. No, that was crazy. I think we were allowed family and friends, but I mean, everyone only got four tickets. So it's not, you know, it's not a very crowded event at all, but that was definitely a huge adjustment. We were all kind of wondering, like, what's it going to be like this year? Just not having any fans, but I think our bench did a huge job of just creating that energy. I mean, there's different videos I know of people, of some of our teammates on the bench out there, of just how excited we got for each other. Even at the NCAA tournament, you know, you're playing in huge stadiums, but we could hear our bench the whole entire time. But no, it was for sure. It was kind of, that's what I'm looking forward to a lot this year, just getting those fans back in there. Like Assembly Hall, you know, I grew up in Indiana, you know, places like Purdue and IU, I get so excited to play there. Which sadly, I don't think we'll play there this year since we played there last year. But just having that crowd there and getting to play in front of, cause I mean, we have a ton of family that would usually come to those games. It was definitely a missed, you know, opportunity and something we wish we had. But yeah, we just kind of had to build that energy ourselves last year for sure.
Yeah. Indiana and Purdue are both home only, which is a bummer for you as a senior, but hey, you can say you went undefeated in Indiana as a senior. So I guess there's something there no matter what. Emily, really appreciate your time, continued success, and look forward to seeing you and your teammates here out on the floor. It'll be here soon.
Yep, for sure. Thank you for having me.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Let's transition behind the scenes. One of the many key contributors and key members of this staff on Michigan men's basketball, Jerron Simmons, video analyst. Jerron, appreciate you hopping on. How are things going?
Things are going really well. I appreciate you having me on, Brian.
No doubt. We've talked in the past about your role in season, getting the video compiled, helping with the scouting report, getting the team ready game by game. It's a grind. There's a lot going on, of course, but I know you're very busy during the off season, quote unquote off season as well. From a practice standpoint and from a recruiting standpoint, take fans inside your role and what goes into your responsibilities, both recruiting wise and also with the current batch of players that are here on campus.
Well, I'll just start first off from a practice standpoint. We still record every practice. We film every practice. We record all of our guys' shots, all our drills, all of our 5-on-5 sessions if we have them. So we still do kind of the same thing we do during the season in the summertime with our practice sessions, our time that's allotted to us for each week during the summer. So players still try to get extra film. They still, you know, trying to learn each and every day. Coach may ask me to pull some clips from practice that he may have saw something from an individual player and that he may be trying to correct or compliment them on. As far as recruiting, Zoom calls have kind of slowed down a little bit now that recruits are allowed to come to campus and we've kind of opened up a little bit, but I'm still putting together various videos of our style of play to show, you know, different recruits how they would fit into our offense. Also, you know, I do different player comparisons to the player as far as how they would fit into our offense. And lastly, I do some personal projects to increase my basketball knowledge, but I also share with coach a project. I'm not going to, you know, tell what I did and what I do, but some things that we've been able to use in the past, and coach really enjoyed what I put together. And I'm also doing that for him again this summer.
When talking to whether it was the incoming freshmen from last year, Hunter and Terrence and Jace and Zeb, and also Devontae, we caught up with a couple weeks ago, so many have raved about how that conversation went with you and the coaching staff of, okay, here is on video where we envision you fitting into our system. This is a practical way to look at it. When you're digging into some of these prospects, past, present, future, what's that process like? How do you find that right fit? And how long of a process is that for you to kind of come up with, in essence, a report on, yeah, this is how you could be here?
It doesn't take too long for my standards. You know, I don't know how other people may view the time, but it doesn't take too long. Once I gather the film from, whether it's a returning player or incoming player, we gather the film from their previous teams that they may have played for, and we already kind of know how they play. So, you know, coach is good about finding guys that fit into our system. So it's not too hard to show these guys, this is how you fit. You know, this is what you would be doing. These are various actions that you possibly may be in. And also, coach does a great job of, you know, adjusting to his players. So each and every year, it's not going to be the same, but some actions will be similar and some guys will be in some of those same actions as previous guys have been.
You were, of course, around the John Beilein coached era as a player. You've been here pretty much the entire time that Juwan Howard has been as the head coach. People talk about, okay, well, this year three, it feels like pretty much every player that's here is been recruited by Coach Howard. There are a few, of course, carryovers from the John Beilein era. How have you seen this program evolve during these first 3 years to go from maybe a mess to where, from all accounts, it seems like this is Coach Howard and exactly what he wants now that he's going into his third season?
Yeah, I just seen the program become closer, very family oriented. Us as coaches, as support staff, we become closer, more comfortable with each other now going into year three. So the conversations in the meeting rooms, the conversations in the coaches' locker rooms, they're more comfortable, but also they're more intense because we're more comfortable with each other. We see what solutions to how we can get better. So year three, I think it's just become much, much more closer. Coach Howard has his full imprint on the program. And just, you know, we are family, and that's how I see year three has brought us very close together.
You know how this works. This is a business. People come and go. Assistants are normally, you know, for a program like Michigan, they're normally targets for head coaches. Are you surprised, and is everyone around there surprised that this is pretty much the same thing? I know Alex Wong is gone and Chris Williams comes in as a trainer, but outside of that, normally there's a lot more ebb and flow for a program this successful. How surprised is the program about that, and how much of a benefit is that?
Now, you're absolutely right about that. It's always turnover, especially in a program like this. I wouldn't say that I'm surprised about it because I feel like we're all in this for one common goal. And, you know, the biggest goal is to win the NCAA national championship. And I feel like all of our staff, coaches, support staff, as well as players, that's our goal. And I think that we want to see that through before someone takes off to leave to their next destination. You know, I really can't speak for everybody else, but that's the feel that I have. And everybody's life goes different ways and everybody has to make different decisions. But I do believe that a big part of the reason that we're all still together is because we know that we can win that national championship, and that's what we're striving to do.
So let's talk about some of the pieces on the floor to try to make that happen. We caught up with Devontae last week. Really interesting backstory, a fascinating spring and summer for him. You were a part of those sessions to recruit him, to show what his fit is. A lot of people are making the comparison to Mike Smith, someone who's coming from a smaller conference, a smaller program, scored a lot, had to be thrust as a lead scoring option, but point guard capabilities, good court vision. Is that comparison fair, and how do you see Devontae fitting into all this?
I wouldn't really want to compare him at all. The only comparison to me is really that they're coming from a smaller conference and they're taking a step up to be the leader of this new team. So I think every individual is unique to themselves. Devontae has to come in here. He has to compete. He has to earn the trust of his teammates, earn the trust of the coaching staff, and hopefully he can lead us to some great things, help lead us to some great things. It won't be him all by himself.
Give me your early impressions of this incoming freshman class. Six players, all highly regarded. Most people have this as the number one recruiting class in college basketball. What have been your early takeaways? And this is a bigger class. I'm sure that means it's a little bit of a challenge to get everybody on that same wavelength because there is so much newness around. What are your early thoughts?
My early thoughts is that this is a very talented group of guys that we had coming in this year. Finally, we got them all on campus with Caleb playing with his national team. But there's a lot of teaching going on, a lot of basic teaching going on in these summertime workouts. So I would say it's not necessarily slower, but more understanding of, you know, young guys learning the new terminology, the new, you know, sets, and just new things that they've never dealt with before. So first, I would say they're very talented. Second, I would say they work extremely hard, extremely hard. These guys are in the gym all the time, early mornings, all the way up until the last staff member is gone. And I'm sure they're here late nights as well. So they're talented, they work hard, and we're teaching a lot.
It's so easy to get infatuated with the shiny new toy, the new recruits that come in, and you forget about the talent that was brought in. People know about Hunter Dickinson and his return because I mean, he's the reigning Big Ten Freshman of the Year, but Zeb, Terrence, Jace, they've got something to say about this and the rotation and their playing time. What strides have you seen those three take? Because I know they've been busting their tail here since the end of the season to put themselves in that position. So where have you seen their jump as they go into their sophomore years?
Absolutely. I've seen all of them make strides in development. Terrence, with his ability to, you know, shoot the ball, and also his ability to change his body. You know, he's in a lot better shape this season. Zeb, you know, he's come in and watch film with the coaching staff a lot. So his mental space is better. He's always had the abilities on the court, but he's learning and his basketball IQ is growing. Another sophomore, Jace, extremely hardworking. His jump shot has come a long way. He's always been a hard player, hard playing player, and his basketball IQ is also growing at a rapid pace. So I think, is that all right?
Yeah, Terrence, yeah, Zeb, Jace. So, yeah. We know what to expect from Hunter, though he does. Yeah. I mean, you tell me, from all pictures and stuff, I'm going to get a chance to see you guys probably next week here, but from all accounts, Hunter looks like a different dude physically. Do you see that?
I do feel like he looks better physically, and I feel like he is better mentally too. Just going through that NBA process, I feel like that builds hunger, the drive to want to be better at the things that they said you couldn't do or the things that they want you to improve on. So I've seen him come in the gym focused, locked in every day, every workout, and also he gets in the gym on his own and puts in his own work a lot of times. So I've definitely seen growth in Hunter as well, physically and mentally.
Yeah. Last player I want to ask you about is Eli Brooks. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit with Devontae and his early impressions of playing with him. You know, for somebody like you who played at such a high level and could play both those guard positions, what does a guy like Eli do for others to make them better, to make things easier for them? Because Eli, we've talked about this before. His numbers don't jump out at you, but Coach Martelli told us when he went down late in the regular season, he's the MVP of this team. And he comes back for that freebie COVID year. Just how much easier does he make things for everybody else?
He makes things extremely easier for everybody else, even the coaching staff, because he's a leader. He leads with his voice, and he also leads by example. He understands how to lead. So, you know, that in itself makes the game easier for everyone around you. He's going to defend. He's going to help the coaches teach during practice. He does everything the right way, and we call him captain. You know, he's the captain for a reason. He's been here. He's been through the war. He's been in the trenches. He knows what it takes to play and win at a high level, and I think he's going to be a tremendous asset to these freshmen and newcomers that just have arrived.
No doubt. Before we let you go, you are going to trade your maize and blue for some green and white here in the next week, hopefully plus. You are the head coach for one of the basketball tournament teams where you played early in your college career at Ohio. Also, full disclosure, is my alma mater, so Jerron and I have a unique connection with all of this. Tell me how that came about. You're going to be the head coach of this team. How did you get asked? What does this experience mean for you as you continue to grow? What's all this like?
It's a blessing, first and foremost. The opportunity came about. They actually asked me to play on the team. And, you know, my playing days are over. I can still get in the gym and I can play. But as far as my career and the direction that I'm heading, you know, I want to be an assistant coach one day, a head coach one day. So I asked them if they had a head coach. They didn't have a head coach at the time. And he told me, if you want to coach, you can be the head coach. And I took that opportunity. And I spoke to Coach Howard and our assistant coaches about it. Coach Howard, he felt that it would be a great experience for me, a great learning opportunity for me, opportunity to, you know, put together my own practice plans, put together my own game plans, and implement everything that I've been learning under all these coaches' wings and actually kind of put a little bit of it to use a little bit. And I'm really looking forward to the experience and the opportunity to, you know, kind of lead a group of guys, I would call my brothers, being Bobcat family, to hopefully a championship.
So the first game is July 24th. It'll be against Zip 'Em Up, which is from Xavier. What is this next stretch like? How much practice time are you going to get in advance of that first game?
We'll have a good amount of practice time. I can't let my competitors know how much practice we're going to be putting in. But we'll have a good amount of practice time. We'll have some time to bond and do some things together, because I feel like a big part of playing in the TBT is, you know, playing as a team, because all these guys are professionals. They know how to play the game, but we have to play together. We have to defend together. So I just think that it'd just be a great opportunity for everyone to just come out there and compete as one.
Thoughts on the Elam ending? And for those who don't know, it's you have a certain time where then it's you basically add 7 points to the team that's leading, and that's the target score. So it's a walk-off basket in every game. How does that affect your coaching, your schematics, your strategy? How far have you thought through on that? Because it is so unique, it's so different, but I mean, it's very popular in this tournament, to be sure.
Right. Definitely very popular. The TBT might be the first time I've ever seen an Elam ending. But my thoughts on it, hopefully we're winning during that time. Hopefully we're winning during that time where they set that target score. But ultimately, it's going to come down to playing defense, getting stops, and just competing on both ends of the floor. If you're losing during the time where they set that target score, then you gotta dig in. You got to get a lot of stops. But if you're winning, same goes. You still got to get a lot of stops. You got to dig in and you got to execute on the offensive end and play together. So I don't think it would make too much of a difference. Just got to go out there and compete. And like I said, hopefully we're winning at the time of that target score.
Check out head coach Jerron Simmons in action coming up this Saturday. That's July the 24th, Ohio 1804 against Zip 'Em Up. Go get them. We hope you're away from the team for a little while. That means it'd be a nice run for you guys. So good luck. Appreciate you hopping on and talking all kinds of basketball with us.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Brian, for having me on.
Definitely excited to check out Jerron Simmons coming up this weekend and hopefully beyond. We hope he's got a lengthy stay in the basketball tournament. Regardless, a great opportunity for him. So we thank Jerron for making some time for us this week. And of course, Emily Kaiser as well. Enjoyed getting her on the podcast for the first time. Thanks to Sarah Van Meter and Tom Weirot for their continued help in making this podcast possible. And thanks to all of you. As I mentioned earlier, Michigan men's basketball freshman interview series starts up next week. Can't wait to introduce you to the best recruiting class in college basketball. That's it for me, Brian Bush. Thank you so much for listening to this week's edition of Defend the Block. And as always, go blue.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of Defend the Block, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network. MGo Blue Podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.